great many times.
And I guess I don't think I fully grasped. Struggling with it. But we'll try again. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin, V'imru lefonai v'Rosh Hashanah, pronounce before me on Rosh Hashanah, Malchiyas, Choynas, V'Shaynas. These are three things. Malchiyas, K'dei Shatam Lechuni Aleichem, that you should recognize me as the king. Zichroinas, K'dei Shiyale Zichronechem, Lefonai V'Toyva, U'Vameh, V'Shaifa. How do you translate those words, Bameh B'Shaifa? What's it referring to? Bameh what? We said two statements. We said, Shetam Lechuni Aleichem, Kedei Yishayale Zichronechem, Zichronechem, Kedei Yishayale Zichronechem, Lefonei Letaivo, Bameh B'Shaifa. So what is the meaning of Bameh B'Shaifa? We could say that it refers back to both, to Malchias and Zechariah. That the Shofar is the Inyan of Malchias, but the Shofar is also the Inyan of Zechariah. Why? Because we'll come back to this later, but one of the themes of Shofar was Allah Elokim Besrua Hashem B'Kol Shofar. There's a very famous medrash in the Vayikra Rabbah, Olo Elokim Besrua, that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin, and we confront the Midas Adin, Elokim is Midas Adin. And how do we confront it? Hashem B'Kol Shofar, with the Kol Shofar, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam moves from a position of Din to a position of Rachamim. So L'chair, the Bameh B'Shofar goes back on both L'chair. And it's Kedei Shetal Yizichroinus, Kedei Shetal Yizichroinichem Lefonei L'Toyva. Now, I wanted to look a little bit at the structure of the Tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah. Now, we notice one word, we'll come to this much, much later. What is the Avodah of Rosh Hashanah? What is the Avodah of Rosh Hashanah? Not easy to know the answer to that question. Yom Kippur, we know. The Avodah of Yom Kippur is to do tshuva. And everything, from the get-go, from Mincha, the era of Yom Kippur, all the way until the end of Yom Kippur. So we're busy with Vidui, tshuva. Vidui is the essence of tshuva. We're busy with tshuva. Fine. But what is the Avodah of Rosh Hashanah? And furthermore, we say there are Aseres Yemei Tshuva, right? That's the way I was raised. They told me there are Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Now, if Vidui is the essence of Tshuva, and Rosh Hashanah, we're not supposed to enunciate the Vidui, why? As the Dubda Magid explains, when you come before a judge, and you're in a bad spot, so you decide you're going to confess to the judge all the things that you've done wrong. So it depends where the judge is coming from. If the judge is in a very harsh mood, so his response is going to be, look at this litany of felonies that you committed, you know? I'll throw the book at you. If he's in a good mood, he'll say, you confessed. You're worthy of the court's compassion. Which way is it going to break? That depends. If there's Midas Adin prevailing, or Midas Arachamim prevailing. Rosh Hashanah, but a Midas Adin prevails, and Allah says, we don't say Vidu. Vidu, when the Midas Adin prevails, is a dangerous enterprise. And I thought that that's really the pshat in the structure of the Slichas too. In the structure of the Slichas, we have many repetitions of the Yud Gimel Midas. Yeah, we have Shema Kolenu, and after Shema Kolenu, we come to the Vidui. So the Rabbeinu Shel Olam said that this is the means of invoking the Midas Harachamim. The means of invoking the Midas Harachamim. Shein Er Chayzus, the Bris Kerusa, the Yigimu Midas, Shein Er Chayzus, Reikam. So first we exercise the power of the Yud Gimel Midas, and then we come forth with the Vidui. Because we've prepared the way through the Yud Gimel Midas to invoke the Midas Rachamim, and then we come to the Vidui. But in Rosh Hashanah, Vidui is a dangerous enterprise. Halacha is not in the Machzor, and we're told that the Vidui is really not the thing to do on Yom Kippur. I'm in a Rosh Hashanah, only on Yom Kippur, or a Seres Yimei Tshuva. So why do we say Seres Yimei Tshuva? If the essence of Tshuva is Vidu, and Vidu we're not supposed to do on Rosh Hashanah, so where's the Tshuva on Rosh Hashanah? I don't believe that you can go to 1 in 1,000 people even to ask them what's the Avoda of Rosh Hashanah and that they'll give you an answer. What did Avoda of Rosh Hashanah? Yeah, we come, we daven, we hear the shofar, but what are we out to accomplish? So there's one word, you know, we have to see what Malchi is, what's the point of the Malchi is. We have to know what the point of the Malchi is. I mean, Malchi is, we can have Malchi is in Hanukkah too. What's up with Malchi is today? What do we want with Malchi is? But we'll come to that. But there's one word that defines the whole Rosh Hashanah Machzor, and that's the word Melech. And all its varied denominations and forms, but there's one word that defines the Rosh Hashanah Machzor, and that's the word Melech. We have talk about Malchius. Malchius has itself immediately two dimensions to it. There are two dimensions to Malchius. Initially, there are deeper, yeah, we'll see there are deeper aspects. But in the Kriya Shema, we also have Malchius. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And that would overlap with the Malchius of Yom and Aram, or Horaya Lekach, because what's the final pasuk of Malchius on Yom and Aram? There's also Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So there's obviously overlap between the Shema Yisrael that we said in the morning, and every morning of the year, and the Shema Yisrael and the Malchius. Now Shema Yisrael has, the Gemara says in Brochus, that first one Makabal Omachu Shemayim, than all mitzvahs. So there are two things. One is to recognize that the king is the king. There's a second aspect that therefore you have to listen to his laws. But those are two separate aspects. One is the recognition. He's the melech, Hashem melech. There's an aspect of his mitzvahs that because he's the melech, we're obligated to do his tzivuyim, his mitzvahs. That's also part of Malchus. So Malchus, we could articulate on Rosh Hashanah, probably includes both Malchus, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and the Chayyim includes within it all mitzvahs too, because that the all mitzvahs stems from the Malchus. That's why Malchus is first in the Kriya Shema. Because once we recognize him as a melech, he was the melech, so if the melech, you have to observe the laws. So the chayor that nichlal in Malchus. Now, that's step one. Now what flows from that? There's another aspect that flows from Malchus. It's interesting. What do we call a dayan in Chumash? Yeah. Dayan is called Elohim. In a certain regard, that means that it reflects the will of the Rabbeinu Shalom. That would justify the terminology. In other words, he's the one that's carrying out the will of the Rabbeinu Shalom. And in that sense, we can, in a certain regard, the name that we call him, we could borrow a name from the Rabbeinu Shalom and use it for a diet. Melech b'mishpat yamidot. The king sustains the world with what? With justice. So that's part of Malchus. Part of Malchus is judgment. So we have Zichronus. What is Zichronus? Zichronus means the Ribbono Shel Olam makes an assessment of everything we've done in this world. Right? That's the bracha. At the Zeicha Maase Adam, Volkei Kol Yitzurei Kedem. The Ribbono Shel Olam oversees everything that we have done in this world. So we're asking, in effect, so that's also a reki, that Zichronus. The final bracha about Shofaris. The introduction to Shofaris is very eye-opening. What does the introduction to Shofaris talk about? How the Ribbono Shel Olam revealed it himself at Sinai. And the psukim of Shofaris in the Torah from where? From Parshas Yisroel. Psukim from Parshas Yisroel. So that's the third of the brachas that we have, the third of the themes. And that's Shofaris. Ata Reglesa Banan Kvedel. So in one regard we have three themes of Rosh Hashanah. We have Malchus, Zichronus, and Shofaris. But if we take a deeper look, they're all Malchus. Everything is Malchus. Because Malchus is the king, Malchus is the responsibility to keep his laws. Malchus of Melech B'Mishpat Yam Menoras. He's the one that enforces Mishpat at the end of the day. And we look at Har Sinai in one dimension, and we fail to appreciate another dimension of it. We look at Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu went, spent 40 days, and he came back with the Torah. You know, we have the good. There it is. That's the Peiros of Har Sinai. The Ramban and Chumash writes, when we remember Maamar Har Sinai, it's not enough to remember that the Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah there, but all the Kailos of Brokum, the whole awesome aspect of the Maamar, of that event, is also part of the mitzvah of remembering the events of Matan Torah. Not only the Nesinas Torah, but what surrounded it. What surrounded it, the Chumash describes in the Chumash Dvarim in this fashion, a pasuk that we're all familiar with. The Yodata Hayoyim, the Hashivaisa Elevavecha, Ki Hashem Hu Olokim, the Shemayim Imal, the Orans Mitochas Enoch. Revelation, the awareness of Shivisi, of the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence, is at all different levels. A person could appreciate the Ribbono Shel Olam is here. Does that mean the Ribbono Shel Olam is everything in the Bria? I don't necessarily have to, it's true, but I don't necessarily understand that yet. I saw the Ribbono Shel Olam intervene, the Ribbono Shel Olam was here, he helped me. So I saw Siyata Dishmaya. But that still didn't bring me to where I have to be yet. That Har Sinai, the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam was so manifest and so blatant that they understood. Rashi tells us that there's echod in the Elyonim and echod in the Tachtonim. This is one of the big struggles in history with all manner of philosophy. That is the Ribbono Shel Olam involved in this world? Does he control this world? Right? We have the same that there are those that say this world, the Ribbono Shel Olam in this world. Do you climb around in your backyard and run the life of the ants that are digging in the garden? No, why not? Because the ants are irrelevant. Who cares about the ants? As long as they stay out of my house, let them do whatever they want, you know? I saw some guy running around in my backyard. Yeah, I'd go and throw him out. That would be, you know, getting... But the ants? Who's going to bother with the ants? Now we go up on top of the Empire State Building and look down at the people. How do the people look?
Small.
Mamash like ants. I look like ants. Look. So from the Rabbeinu Shalom's perspective, both the perspective of where he is and what he is, what are we? We're not even the ants. So they say what the Rabbeinu Shalom is involved in, what does he care? With the ants. Shalom has specific things to do with the Bria. The ants, it bothers with the ants. So it's the question there are, that's, and there are two types of questions. That's one thing. The Rosh Hashanah is in this world and is involved in this world. Revelation means he came and he dictated to this world how this world should be. He's concerned what is going to go on in this world. And then you had the view of the Greeks. Right? The Greeks that, you know, upstairs, the Shemayim was like the government in Washington, you know, an endless bureaucracy, you know, with all types of players. This one in charge of this, and him in charge of this, a whole panoply of, you know, players. The notion that there's an Hashem Echad, no, there's no competing sources, there's not Hashem of the Orat, or Hashem of the Shemayim Khalil, or Hashem of this, or Hashem of that, no, there's Hashem. That became clear to Klal Yisrael, Rashi says, in its strongest manifestation at Har Sinai, when the Torah was given. So from that standpoint, Shafras is also Malchus. It's the revelation. It's the Rabbanu Shalom could be Behester. He's in Shemayim, and we don't appreciate the Rabbanu Shalom. He's there, but he's bailed. The Rabbanu Shalom could be Begoli. He's accessible. We can see him. We can experience him. Right? So Matan Torah was the ultimate interface with the Rabbeinu Shalom in this world. So we have three separate themes, Malchus, Zichronus, and Shafras. But if we really look at them in a deeper sense, all of them are Malchus. Rosh Hashanah has one thing, Malchus. Malchus. Whose realm are we in? Whose realm are we in? In the Rabbeinu Shalom's realm. So these are the three basic themes that we have in Rosh Hashanah. And they all come together, they coalesce into one picture of Malchus. Uvameh b'shoifer, and that could come from various standpoints. The simplest standpoint is the Gaonim gave many reasons for shoifer, and it's reminiscent of Har Sinai. In that regard, it's also reminiscent in the tefillos we have in the Masechta Tekef. If you look in the Mefarshim on the Masechta Tekef, there's a huge pilpul. Because we have an expression of a shofar gadol v'yitaker. Now, shofar gadol, where do we have shofar gadol? Tkab shofar gadol. In the Novi we find the shofar gadol is but the shofar of Mashiach. So which shofar are we talking about? Are we talking about the shofar of Rosh Hashanah or the shofar of Mashiach? There's a debate among the Mefarshim and in the Machsa concerning the meaning of that phrase of the Masechta Tekef. But it's certainly true in a larger sense. If it's, by the, whatever the, whichever one the Machsa is referring to, this is the ending of a Shofar Gadol Yitaker. That's also more rumors in the Shofar. And what is that? To Kav Shofar Gadol Cheruseinu. That's also Malchus. And we'll come back to this yet a little bit later. That's also Malchus. Because that's the ultimate revelation of the Rabbeinu Shalom in the world. What does Rashi say in Shema Yisrael? Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem who is today Elokeinu will be Hashem Echad for the entire world. That this is something that the entire world will recognize. So that is the Bashofar Gadol Yitaker, that the Shofar is Meramez Tergula Asida, is also Malchus. It's the ultimate revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ultimate revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Shofar we find, we have a pasuk, Truas Melech Bo. It's proclaiming the presence of the king. That was the Shofar at Har Sinai. What was the Shofar at Har Sinai? The Shechinah is coming. The Melech is coming. So he blew the Shofar. That's the Shofar of Rosh Hashanah. In its simplest sense, Malchus, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is present. So the Shofar, Ubameh B'Shofar. Shofar is Malchus. Shofar is Zechreinus. All of the Kim B'Shesuva Hashem B'Kol Shofar. So the, that's why in Brisk, it's a question even how far you want to go with this. This is a whole, if you look at the piece in the, from Yom Yosheber Soloveitchik on the structure of the Shemon Esrei, you'll see how far it goes with this idea. There was a brisk notion that the Shofar is part of the Tefillah. It's a chelek of Tefillah. Yeah, in that sense, if the entire Tefillah is to proclaim Malchus, the Shofar also proclaims the Malchus. In the end of the tefillahs, when do we finish the tekiyahs? In the middle of Chadash, before Tisca B'Av. Why? Why do we blow shofar before Tisca B'Av? Because the shofar itself is a chelek of the tefillah. And Ramela, we wait with Tisca B'Av to finish the tekiyahs too. So that this Kabbalah goes not only on the Tefillah, but it goes on the Tekiyahs, because the Tekiyahs are a chelek of the Tefillah. So this is, in the simplest sense, Shofar is Malchus. There's another aspect to it being Malchus, and we have the theme that we have, that with Shofar, we have Irvu Masotin, we talked about this. So, it is not so easy to deceive the Sotin. He spent thousands of years deceiving all of us, and he still didn't go out of business. He's still always current. So how are we going to deceive him so quickly? Right? The Gemara says that we blew shofar tkiyas to meyushav, tkiyas to meumad, kedil arviv v'sason. So there's a very interesting pshat of Rav Yonasan Eifshitz. Those that just left did moed cotton in the daf. So in the last parak, there are a couple of Gemaras. I'll cite one of them that Rav Yonasan Eifshitz brings, which there's at least one other Gemara that bears out the same thing in the third parak in Eilu Megalchen. In this world, you have to have the mazel who you get in a fight with. If you get in a fight, it should be someone that's relatively the same as you. But the Gemara relates that there was a Yidah Talmud Chacham, and who did he wind up in a fight with? With a mafioso. So this is not a good scene. A mafia is not on one side, and a Yidah Talmud Chacham on the other side, A mafia don, if you have a fight with a mafia don, there should be a mafia don. So you also have 100 guns to put in the street, to take care of you. But, a Talmud Chacham with a mafioso is not a pleasant situation. So they came up with an eight, so what are they going to do? So they put this mafioso, they went there, they brought 300 people to the base of Kfaros, and they put the mafioso in Cheirem, and they blew Shofar as a part of the process of putting him into Cheirem, and then he died. And that's how they saved this Yidah Talmud Chacham, a Gemara in Moed Katan. There's another similar Gemara. So Rav Yonasan Eifshitz says that it would seem then that what's the theme? What is the theme of shayfar, what seemed to be midas adin. So why do we say that we bring about the midas harachamim with shayfar? How do we say such a thing? So, Rabbi Yonasan Eushitz gives the following answer. And thereby he explains the Irva Vasatan too, but this is also an aspect of Malchus. He said, if the prosecutor has too good a case, he has a dossier 5,000 pages on you, and you don't really have an answer, and he really has it in for you, so what do? You go to court and you tell the judge, listen, I'm guilty and I put myself in the mercy of the court. Why? Because you figure I have two cheshbonos. Number one, the prosecutor can't present this case now, and he was going to wipe the floor with you. And secondly, probably the judge is not going to look at all 5,000 pages of the patience and the time for it, you know? So, well, he did some avarice, he pleaded guilty, you know? So, he says, that's the way you get the prosecutor out of your hair. So, what do we do on Rosh Hashanah? The shofar recognizes the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Melech B'Mishpat Yamid Oretz recognizes the Midas Adin. Say, Rabbanu Shalom, we're guilty. Ain't Maladaber. We have nothing to say for ourselves. So we put ourselves upon your mercy. So Mameila, that's the Irv of a Sultan too. Because the Sultan has no place to talk. The case is closed. I don't need you. That's the Rav Yonasan Eushitz. But it also implicit within that, the Shofar is the Malchus. Is the recognition of the Midas Adin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's another aspect of the Malchus. Let's go back a step. Inspired to my own terror to this kasha. In the middle of the third bracha of Shmona Esrei, the Yom and the Ram, and at the Kodesh, so we have over three paragraphs. V'chein tein pacht cho Hashem alayakein o'akol ma'asecho, v'chein tein kovar Hashem la'amecho, v'chein tzadikim yiru v'yismocho more than that. V'sim loich ato lo'adecho o'akol ma'asecho bar tzio mishkan ki v'adecho v'shalayim ha'kotshecho. Yimloich Hashem li'olam l'kach tzion l'dovador, hallelujah. Now the shaila is, l'chayra, this theme would seem to fit with the bracha of Malchus. And the Malchus, the way we have it arranged, we do not incorporate Malchus into Kedushas Hayoyim. We put the Malchus as separate. So what is the presence of these few paragraphs in the Kedushas Hayom? So you'll see Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik cites, which I don't want to go into now, very interesting teretz from an uncle of his. But I would offer a very simple idea. Kedusha, we end with this very pasuk that we have right before the chasima. Yimlo Hashem le'olam l'kach tziel l'davador haladuka. That's the way we end kedusha all the time. And I think it goes back to the theme of Shema Yisrael Hashem alakino Hashem echad. What is the ultimate kedusha of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in this world? The ultimate kedusha is that all of mankind recognizes the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. That's the ultimate kedusha. Ata kodesh shimcha kodesh. Kedoshim b'chol yom yalalu chasela. Shaila what kedoshim refers to. Kedoshim refers to Klal Yisrael, to the malachim, perhaps to both. But the aspect of kedoshim b'chol yom yalalu chasela, the recognition of the kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that we realize the role of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. That's the ultimate Atta Kodesh Hashem Chol Kodesh. That's why we end Kedusha each time. Yedimno Hashem Le'oilo. That's why we end Kedusha in that fashion. And perhaps that's the reason that these few additions were made, because the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was truncated in the world in which we live. There are those that recognize the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, those that don't recognize the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Even if they are where they are, Amish, in today's world. They all exist. So, that means the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, ultimately the recognition of Kedushas Hashem, is lacking. So I think implicit in the bracha of Akel HaKodesh is the recognition of that Kedusha. That's why we end Kedusha B'dimlach Hashem L'yoylam L'okayach Tzion L'davador Halalukah. So perhaps that's the reason that we put these few aspects into the bracha of Kedusha, because this is expressing what the ultimate Kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. The ultimate Kedusha is that V'simloich ato Hashem levadecho kol ma'asecho. Perhaps that's the ultimate expression of Kedusha that exists. Now, I started with a question. Now that we've explored Malchus to some extent, we'll come back to my initial question. Where are there Aseres Yemei Tshuva? Where's the Tshuva of Rosh Hashanah? I think the answer to the question lies in the following statement. There's a Machlokes at the end of Yuma, how we have to recite Vida. Do we need to be Mefarat Echet in the style of the Al-Chetz? Or is it enough to say Chotosi Obisi Poshati? And that's enough. Machlokes in the Gemara. The Rambam, rather oddly, the Rambam says in one place it should be Mefarat Techet, and another place in the Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam says Chotosi Obisi Poshati Zo Ikar Avidei. Which is it? What's the Pshat? Why do I have to be Mefarat Techet? And yet Ikar Avidei is Chotosi Obisi Poshati. The Meire in the Chibra Tshuva quotes the Gaonim. And the Gaonim are a very fascinating idea. We'll have to explore what the meaning of this idea is. But the Gaonim say there are two ways to do Tshuva. In effect, there's retail Tshuva bit by bit. And a retail Tshuva, you have to be Mefarat Techet. You have to say exactly what it is. Then there's wholesale Tshuva. And there it's enough to say Chotosi Obisi Poshati. That's what he quotes from the Gaonim. But then the question is a very simple question. So why bother with retail tshuva? Just do it wholesale. Listen, if I put two stores next to each other, the retail and the wholesale, and the wholesale one lets you in, so you go in. What are you going to the retail store for? So, well, we should just do to make, you know, short work. We should do it wholesale. We'll say Chatono Avino Poshano, and that's it. It'll be the end of the video. What? The problem is, the Chazon Ish, a different context where the Chazon Ish defines it perfectly. The Chazon Ish in the Chibur and Amunah B'Tochen writes, the reality, he said, all chet and all tshuva swings on one axis. It's one point. Are we fully humble before the Rebbeinu Shel Olam? Or no, that's it. If we're fully humble before the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, so what's the difference? Doesn't make a difference what mitzvah, what it is. It's all one thing. He said, so why then did the Balei Musar break it down into varied midos? Because he says it's a lot easier to work on it by little itsy-bitsy pieces then to work on the whole ball of wax in one shot. So it comes out, I believe, that there really is defined. That's the difference between tshuva, wholesale, and tshuva retail. Wholesale is the recognition, Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch, Le'olam Vod. Now, if I could truly recognize that, that's it. I'd be finished. We're not shaykh to do a chet anymore. Yeah. Some of you may have known, I was known very well, Rosh Lema Drillman, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha. He was a Robin Kenasi, he was a Rosh Lema Yeshiva University. So he was born, came from a Polish family, his father was a Psaida Talmud Chacham, but he was born in Germany. And he grew up in Germany until they apparently came to the United States before the war, I believe. I think before the war. I'll call upon him. So he was in school. He grew up in Germany when he was about in the late, somewhere in his teens. His father sent him to learn by Rabbi Chanan Wasserman and Baranovich. So he came to Baranovich and Rabbi Chanan one day got to talking about the dibuk, the famous story that, you know, that Rabbi Chanan with a dibuk. So he started to snicker. So Rabbi Chanan saw him, so he says, oh, he says, now you grew up in Germany, you know, so you think these all of these are Ostjuden mises, you know, like the primitives of the Eastern Europe have these type of stories. So why don't you believe it? Because you never saw such a thing in your life. So that's why it's strange to you. So he told him that, tell me, he says, what was the greatest door that ever lived? So he said, the door of Midbar. So he says, prove to me that the door of Midbar was the greatest door. So he said, he brought all types of proofs, and Rabbi Chanan poo-pooed all his proofs. So he said, new Rebbe, what do you feel is the proof? So Chanan said, I'll tell you what was the proof. The proof was, they heard the Rebbeinu Shalom say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and they were still able to do the Chet Egel. They didn't lose their Bechira. Meaning to say that they had such powerful Bechira that on the plus side, you could imagine what they could do. With the ability that the Rebbeinu Shalom gave them. Here they misused it, but the ability to do was so awesome that they could accomplish truly great things in their mitzvahs. So Rav Drillman Zatzal said, he said, could you imagine? He says, Elamai. He says, that's why the Rabbeinu Shalom doesn't the Rabbeinu Shalom bring, let us see a dibuk bismaneinu? Because we're not such big people. We'd lose the Bechira if we saw such a thing. So Rav Drillman Zatzal used to say, could you imagine? He had a shul of, I don't know, 20% or so of from people, and about 80% traditional Jews, Be'erach, something like that, maybe 70-30. So he said the following, could you imagine if by Nila, I could bring a dibuk up in the front of the shul to the Bima, and the dibuk would tell about the terrible consequences of Chilul Shabbos? Nobody could be Mechal Shabbos after that. But there wouldn't be any Bechira. But you have to be to, if we saw the Rebbeinu Shalom clearly, it wouldn't be shaykh to do a chet. Be all over. And if we brought ourselves to it, that would be fine. But that's not so easy. It's a hard task. So usually we have to be busy with tshuva on the particulars that we could deal with to some extent, but not on the whole nine yards. That's the difference between tshuva wholesale and tshuva retail. If we're ready to embrace the shivisi and the malchi is to the fullest extent, then go with it. Then all it is, there's one thing, it's chatos yavisi v'shati. There's one chet, I strayed from the Rebbeinu Shalom, now I'm back with the Rebbeinu Shalom and everything is fixed. But if I can't do it that way, so then I have to struggle with all the little manifestations of the things that are out of order. No, you knew him, Eddie. Shlomo Drillman. Yeah, you do. Tyre Yid.
The shul didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve that shul.
But Yeah, but he made tons of Balei Tshuvos in that shul. No. A tremendous Talmud Chacham. Once on Erev Pesach, so there were two minyanim, so he made two siyumim. What were the two siyumim? One was on Baba Kama, one was on Baba Basra. Just to let you know, okay? And he was a rove, and he said, "Cheer!" Just get a measure of what the man was, you know. Zecher tzadik l'vracha. So these are the two ways that we could do tshuva. Rosh Hashanah, I had this machshav amal, and I found in the writings of Rav Chatzkel Levenstein, Zecher tzadik l'vracha, that Rav Chatzkel also says it. So, Nehanesi ma'oit. Rosh Hashanah, the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah is malchus. That's the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. To the extent that we become clear on our own minds, Hashem Melech, that's the tshuva. And Mamela, we put it in this fashion. Ramosh Chodesh is the Rosh Shiva of Yeshiva Zohar Chon in Yerushalayim. I know him, we're friends. So his father was the great Mashgiach of Chevron, a yeshiva, the Talmud Adalter of Slavot Klirmei HaChodesh. So once in his Chabura, they got an idea that they want to study Sefer Chofetz Chaim, so they shouldn't speak so much Lashon Hara. So, you know, but you don't do things in yeshiva without asking Rishus of the Mashgiach. So it's Chaverim told him, listen, your father's the Mashgiach, you go ask him for us, you know. So he went. And his father was cool to the idea. Well, it'll be cool to the idea of learning Sefer Chofetz Chaim. You know, the Chofetz. So his father said, you have a problem. What's your problem? You feel that you want to be more careful about Lashon Hara. So, well, what are you out to do? You're out to treat the symptoms and not the disease. What's the disease? The disease is the lack of Avos Yisrael. If we had appropriate Avos Yisrael, who could speak Lashon Hara? So that you're not addressing the disease. So you just want to deal with the symptoms. That's not the way to go about it. You know, of course you have to deal with the symptoms, but first address the disease. That's where your sight should be. If you'd have proper Avos Yisrael, you wouldn't have the rotzen to speak Lashon Hara in the first place. People eating with big asogas. So that's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is, if we recognize the Hashem Melech, then how would it be possible to do a chet? Chet would be beyond us. All the reasons that we might sin would melt away. There wouldn't be a reason to sin. I wouldn't have to do a fight with the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara would be gone. Person lives with the Rabbeinu Shalom in the presence of the Rabbeinu Shalom, shayach to do a chet. So this is the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi. So that's what I thought, and that's what I found Rav Chatzkel Levenstein says also. This is the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. The recognition of Hashem Melech. And the more we clarify that, and it becomes vivid, then that's the tshuva. That's the avodah, that's the ultimate avodah of Rosh Hashanah, is to clarify to ourselves in all the different aspects, but it should become vivid, Hashem Melech. And the Chaira, Im Kain, we did sneak in a little bit of vidui on Rosh Hashanah. We go to the Avinu Malkeinu, in the first two lines of Avinu Malkeinu, we have the whole vidui of Rosh Hashanah. Avinu Malkeinu chatonu lefanecha, Avinu Malkeinu ein lonu melech elohato. In those two lines is the whole vidui of Rosh Hashanah. The whole avodah of Rosh Hashanah is in those two lines. How do we deal with chatonu lefanecha in Rosh Hashanah? Ein lonu melech elohato. That's the whole story. P- Perhaps that's the meaning. One of the reasons the thought comes to me. We read the Akedah in Rosh Hashanah. There are many, many different reasons to read the Akedah. Read the Akedah, to invoke the schus of the Akedah. Kedah Yitzchak Hayom V'Rachamim, right? V'Rachamim Tizko. But in a deeper sense, it's the ultimate expression of Malchus. The ultimate expression of Malchus. What did we say until now? The Malchus is, how do we push aside all our own desires and our own will with the recognition of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? By Avraham Avinu, was at such a level of recognition of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that there was a total bittul of his own will. And only thus could he go to the Akedah. How could a person go forth and be ready to sacrifice his own son? A son that didn't come so easily, a son that took him 100 years till he was born. A Yid came to me once before Yom Kippur, many, many years ago. And the Shaila, his wife, was pregnant, so she fasted Yom Kippur. Shouldn't she fast Yom Kippur? You know? So what did he tell me? He says, Rabbi, you have to be very careful how you pass in the Shaila. I waited many years for this. It wasn't, I don't think it was the first child, but we waited many years for this child. And I don't want anything to go wrong. Right, so 10 years, whatever he told me, we had 10 years for this child. Avraham Avinu waited 100 years. So how could he conceivably be mevatel his rotz and his love for Yitzchak was subsumed by his love for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? So this is the ultimate malchus. The Avas Hashem so pervades the person that there's nothing in this world that has any significance in relationship to that. So that's perhaps one of the reasons that we read the Akedah on Rosh Hashanah, because it is so striking in its Malchus, in its recognition of Malchus. We'll hold it at this point. Stop.